Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's October 22nd, 2014, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, Canada's capital is on lockdown after a shootout on the Parliament complex leaves one soldier dead plus an alleged shooter. Meanwhile, Canadian police point weapons on journalists during the incident, and government officials ask the public not to post photos or videos. Then, California cops try to intimidate a man from recording a public training exercise.
Do I have to identify myself as a civilian in public and I have not committed a crime? I do, yes.
And why is the Obama administration withholding over 2,000 U.S. military torture photos? That's coming up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
There was a shooting today at the Parliament Center in Ottawa, Canada. A shooter has been identified as Michael Zahoff Bibeau. And I stress a shooter because there are also reports out that there may be an additional shooter somewhere in the complex or the area. We have not been able to confirm that one way or the other. But if you look at the article, Zahoff Bibeau, slain Ottawa shooter, had a criminal record in Quebec, B.C. If you look at the image on this page, it says police sources confirm that this is an image from an ISIS Twitter account, and this is, of course, Zahoff Bibeau. They have confirmed. Let me be very clear. This is not confirmation that the shooter was an ISIS member, just that he was tweeted from an ISIS account. Doesn't mean that he could potentially be an ISIS member. That is definitely so. We've seen ISIS come out and make threats against Canada. And before we go more in depth with this, let's go look at a timeline of the events that led up to the shooting itself.
The shooting that took place in Ottawa this morning is actually the second attack in Canada this week. On Tuesday, two Canadian soldiers were deliberately run over. One of them was killed in Quebec. This was by a man with jihadist sympathies. Now, this attack took place following a vote in Parliament this month that authorized Canadian warplanes to bomb Islamic State militants in Iraq. The Muslim convert who was killed by the Quebec police was one of 90 suspected militants who are being tracked by Canadian authorities. Now, this particular militant had been visited by the authorities several times, most recently on October 9th. They even met with his parents and the imam at his mosque. They say it was in an effort to get him to change his views. Now, these guys being under surveillance by the authorities, very similar to what we learned about the Tsarnaevs. On Tuesday, Canada raised its domestic terror level from low to medium. This was due to an increase in general chatter from radical Islamist organizations like ISIL, Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, and others. But they did stress at the time that there was no specific threat. Now, that chatter is said to have begun about 5 days ago. Now, this particular attack has also prompted the FBI to raise its alert posture as well. Now, you'll recall that we reported that ISIS chatter was being heard here in America as well. There were calls for radicalized Americans to go to the homes of U.S. soldiers and slaughter them. ISIS buddy John McCain said that an attempted attack on U.S. soil was inevitable in the near future. Now, the attack that took place in Ottawa this morning is still under investigation to see if it has any links to terrorism, but witness description says he's Caucasian, 30-ish, with a Palestinian-type headscarf, already suspecting that this culprit is white Al-Qaeda. Fox News is also leaning heavily on the terror angle. A former CIA analyst told the network that he believes ISIS or Al-Qaeda is responsible for the shooting.
I think this is more than an act of homegrown terrorism.
So if it's not Ebola, it's going to be the tried and true terrorism. You can never let a good crisis go to waste. And now that the media has already dubbed this week's attacks the end of innocence for Canada, we can expect to see the buildup of the type of police state that's already well underway in Britain and the U.S.
Fox News has the article, Canadian soldier gunman killed in attack on Ottawa Capitol Complex. The shooting at the government complex came after witnesses said they saw at least one man jump out of a Toyota Corolla and run toward the memorial and open fire on the soldier. Now, we had originally seen reports that there were at least two people in the Toyota Corolla. Now it's saying there's one, but, you know, when you have the initial reports, the initial shootings, you know, you have people on Twitter or wherever your sources are. So a lot of times you get those type of things mixed up. So now they're saying that it's probably one person. One person is dead. We know that for sure. We have the soldier who has been shot, and also the one gunman. They are concerned that there may be somebody else running around the area, but at this moment, we don't know that to be an actual fact. And earlier today on the Alex Jones radio show, I was talking about this this breaking news. I would like to issue a correction. I said that the gunman had run past armed police running into the parliament. I now understand that the gunman did not initially contact armed police when entering the building. He just ran through a entrance that's reserved for MPs and people like that. Let's go to this clip for more details.
This is a door that's used by MPs, by staff, by accredited journalists. It's not a public door. And so he just, but it's open. I mean, if you don't have a pass, they'll kindly ask you to leave. But if you want to barge in, I guess that's a way to do it. And so he came up through there. It appears that the gunfire broke out in the foyer just at the entrance of that door and moved down the hallway to the north towards the Library of Parliament, called the Hall of Honor, as I understand it. And they opened it. There was a second round of gunfire.
And that was Josh Wingrove speaking with CNN. And Mr. Wingrove also brought us some other information that Paul Joseph Watson turned into an article. Cops train guns on journalists after shooting in Canada. And if you scroll down and you look at the tweet by Mr. Wingrove, he said, Ottawa police tactical officers are here and very kindly pointing their guns at every reporter, ordering hands in the air and us to the ground. And Mr. Wingrove's the one who said he saw one motionless body outside the Library of Parliament. So, yeah, we've seen this before. You know, they come in, they aim guns at the journalists, just like they did after the Boston bombing, just like they did in Ferguson, Missouri. They come out there and just pretty much scare everybody, you know, and they want to talk about terrorists. And I understand you have an active shooter situation and you don't know exactly what's going on, but menacing people with guns, I don't think is helping the situation at all. And let's talk a little bit about the history about the Canadian Police Department, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. We've seen them previously stage a false flag. Now, let me be very clear. Come back to me on camera for a second, guys. I'm not saying that the shooting that happened today in Ottawa, Canada was a false flag. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we're going to take a look, a retrospective, at some of the actions of the Canadian police in the past. Okay, let's go to the article. Now, following the SSP protests in Canada in 2007, Quebec provincial authorities were forced to admit that three rock-wielding, black-mask-wearing anarchists were, in fact, police infiltrators used to gather information on the protesters. And what's the telltale sign that they found about these anarchists? The boots that they were. You know, it's such a joke. I mean, okay, so you got these guys, these supposed anarchists, these guys trying to kick up stuff, and they're wearing the same standard-issue boots that the police are wearing. I don't think these guys, these wild, crazy anarchists, you know, go get the police magazine and go order some boots. So, you know, that's just one of the things that they're doing, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And going from the actions of Canadian police to the actions of California police, California cops tried to intimidate man from recording public training exercise.
Do you have your ID or not?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any other weapons on you?
No, sir.
I'm going to pat you down, okay?
No, I absolutely do not consent to any searches.
I'm not searching.
I do not consent to any searches. Please don't touch my phone.
Well,
Once again, after our illegal search, my hands are in my pocket. Where did my wallet go?
We'll find it.
I think your partner might have just picked my wallet up and took it with it.
And you can see the full clip on Infowars.com. My favorite part of the piece is when the cop says, it's the law, we can come over here, you should read it. I just wish the guy would have said, well, it's called the Constitution, you should read that, you know, Bill of Rights, First Amendment. You know, it's the first one, you don't have to cram all night to find it. How General Dynamics just got a $600 million check from Uncle Sam, courtesy of ISIS. A Reuters report says the U.S. government on Monday said it had approved the sale to Iraq of $600 million in tank ammunition manufactured by General Dynamics Corps, saying it would help the Iraqi government establish an integrated ground defense capability. So, you know, the taxpayers are funding this so the Iraqis can further fight a puppet that the U.S. helped create, you know, with their funding, their training, sending equipment over there. And we just saw the video yesterday of the airdrop supplies in ISIS territory. And, you know, the official narrative is that it was meant for the Kurds. It just ended up in the wrong place. Even if that is true, and that's a big if in my book, you're just going to airdrop grenades, rockets, all these other types of arms into an area for anybody to get them first. And this is the same administration that's trying to push you on gun control. We need universal background checks. We need RFID guns. Meanwhile, they'll just drop guns in the field for anybody who happens to get there first. Completely ridiculous. Something else ridiculous in the Obama administration, withholding torture photos. In addition to the disgusting Abu Ghraib photos released in 2004, an estimated 2,000 images of U.S. military personnel torturing and degrading detainees, possibly even more disturbing, may soon be released to the public realm. And President Obama was quoted back in 2009 saying that the images could further inflame anti-American opinion and put our troops in greater danger. And I do agree this probably isn't going to put the best face on the American military, but you have to understand these aren't 2,000 censored images of the guys handing out graham crackers and teddy bears. This is some hardcore torture. And you guys seen the photos. They got the guys naked, hugging each other, chasing chickens around, some bizarre stuff. But this is what's going on. And people need to know about it. They need to know what's going on in our American military. They also need to know what's going on in our police forces. Just like the video we just showed you, the cops come over, harass the guy, want to take his footage. What are you doing, officer? What are you doing in the military that you want to take away somebody's footage? What are you doing that you have to censor those images? And most of your police, they're good-hearted people. Same thing with your military. But the people who are doing these horrible, horrific things need to be held accountable. And that's why we have the hashtag Ebola contest, because we want people to know that this botched response by the president, by the CDC, Governor Rick Perry, everybody who's telling you that everything is awesome, everything is great when you're part of the team, they're secretly preparing for something, even though they're telling you not to be alarmed. We have this firefighter claim small community received 300 body bags for Ebola. And this is a contestant in our hashtag Ebola contest. We'll go out to break with this. We'll come back with some more reports. But remember, you still have time to enter into the contest. The deadline is October 24th. Go to Infowars.com for full contest details. And coming up after our break, we'll have a special report from Joe Biggs. He's going to tell you about the latest on the world opium production. And also David Knight is going to tell you about our bioweapons programs. These are two things exclusive to the InfoWars Nightly News. Stay tuned.
So 300 body bags are coming in. And where are you from? Denham's a small place. So a small town's ordering 300 body bags, 5 hazmat suits. And are you being trained?
We are being trained.
How are you feeling all about it?
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
I want to know what's really happening with Ebola. I want to know if there are things out there that could protect this country and protect my three children, just as you do. Government can't and won't protect you from Ebola. It is up to all of us to be prepared and to protect ourselves. I'm not sitting back waiting for the government to come protect me and take care of me. It's why I'm doing everything I can to boost my body's natural defenses. That's why I've got storable foods. That's why I've got my colloidal silver from InfoWarsLife.com, the silver bullet. That's why I've got Nascent Iodine X2 that has absolutely supercharged my personal body's defenses. I personally have gotten prepared, and I recommend everybody else get prepared as well. So visit InfoWarsLife.com today to find the most cutting-edge, hardcore supplements on the planet. Or call the InfoWars staff, and we can answer your questions or take your order over the phone at 888-253-3139.
I'm Joe Biggs with a special report for InfoWars.com. Now, we just had a recent report put up by NBC News stating Afghan opium poppies hit record high despite $7 billion U.S. campaign. According to SIGAR's report, the value of the opium produced in Afghanistan reached $3 billion in 2013. That was a 50% increase from 2012. So there's definitely a lot more production of opium going on in Afghanistan. And as you can see on this map over here, all of Afghanistan is in some way involved in the production of opium. The ones in the red you can see are the most right now. That's on the border of Iran over here and Farah. And then over to the right, you've got Kabul right here on the Pakistan border. Those areas have gone up a lot in production. I was in the coast province just below that in the green right there. Production has decreased. And it's for a reason, because those guys are a lot more traditional. They are tribal leaders who are very anti-Taliban, very anti-Western in any kind of way. So when we would go in and ask them, basically, not me personally, but, you know, the higher powers that be, when they would go in and speak and ask these guys if, you know, they were willing to play ball, and they say no, their crops would be completely burnt down or destroyed in some kind of manner. So the ones who are willing to play ball are the ones who are going to have their production go up, like there and over here in Kabul as well. I've got some stories, personal stories as well, from being in Afghanistan, where we would be called out on these missions and, you know, be told not to ask any questions. We would have these OGA or other government agency type guys, you know, full beard, decked out in all the coolest combat gear you could think of. And these guys would get put into our Humvees, and we would have to take them out on these missions. You know, one of the days I remember very clearly is pulling up to an opium field, and these guys getting out and going to speak to the farmer. And meanwhile, we're sitting out here in our Humvees, you know, manning 50 cals, trying to pull security for an opium field, you know. And then sometimes you would see these OGA guys coming back saying, hey, you know, destroy it all. Or sometimes they would say, all right, let's set up a perimeter and guard this. And those are the guys, you know, that I assume that were willing to play ball with the Western countries and allow us to, you know, do some kind of drug deal with that. You know, we know our government's done that before.
In Western Kandahar, poppy farmers score, till, harvest their crop, and the Americans do nothing to stop them.
I know that you care deeply about this this contradiction, the fact that here you have one of the best fighting forces in the world ever mounted, and in a sense, you're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
We just saw the new movie, Kill the Messenger, that came out, where Gary Webb exposes how the CIA was bringing cocaine in and using freeway Ricky Ross to, deal those drugs out into California. And there was this huge, you know, crack cocaine epidemic that happened back then. So we know that our government gets involved with things like that. But it's just crazy. We're spending $7 billion to stop this production. Meanwhile, their production rate is going up. And now Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's opium. But then you've got the people who get addicted to them. They crush up the pills, snort them. They get addicted to heroin, injecting it. And it destroys a lot of lives as well. And we are, our government's helping that out. It's mind-blowing to see how our country is willing to help put money in the pockets of people and others that want to destroy the American way of life. We're funding ISIS. We're doing all that. And once again, we're funding more drugs to be made, to be brought into our country to destroy American lives. So continue watching our reports on Infowars.com. I'm Joe Biggs.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials, all the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
An often overlooked fact about the current Ebola outbreak is that it's a different strain than we've seen before. A different strain even than broke out this summer in the former Zaire. And that should raise a question. How did it get to Western Africa? If it was transmitted by animals, how did it migrate thousands of miles across the continent of Africa without some kind of an outbreak in between? And not only is it a different strain that spread far more than previous outbreaks, Dr. Francis Boyle points out that U.S. government labs have been in this area.
Why are they putting these labs in those countries?
Well, it's very simple in try to circumvent the Biological Weapons Convention and my Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989 that provides for life in prison. We have a BSL-4 in Guinea. We have one at the capital there, one in Liberia, Monrovia, and another one at Kenema in Sierra Leone.
So was it released accidentally through experiments? In the past, we've had Ebola get out 3 times in lab contaminations. In 2 separate incidences in Russian labs, there were 2 deaths. And we've had 6 separate monkey outbreaks that didn't transfer to humans, but humans were affected. They developed antibodies, but they didn't get sick, meaning that they fought it off with their own immune systems, highlighting how important it is for you to have good immune system health.
The National Institutes of Health mated live Ebola with the virus for the common cold. And
Whoa.
It very well might have been this type of vaccine that they were testing out over there at these BSL-4 facilities. We know that the Sierra Leone government shut down Kenema and accusing them of starting the pandemic with shots under the supervision of Tulane.
We just have a report that came out last Friday, basically kind of buried in the Friday news cycle. This is from the New York Times, and we haven't seen very much reporting about this. The White House said they were going to cut funding for risky biological studies. Now, this is them saying that they're not going to do any more weaponizing. What do you make of that?
Well, that's the smoking gun.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday in the New York Times. You see, they de facto admitted that this is exactly what they were doing at those BSL-4 labs in the 3 BSL-4 labs in West Africa.
As we've seen, they evidently didn't focus on containing the disease or even on basic contamination protocols.
Go into an infected
risk.
Ebola patient's room without covering your head, with only wearing 1 pair of gloves and with your feet exposed. You would do that?
Absolutely. More is not always better. Better is better.
Well, today we got a picture of Dr. Frieden visiting an Ebola ward in Liberia. Look at him there. That's him front and center. He is covered head to toe.
Now, if the repeated lies and hypocrisy of the CDC doesn't make you wonder if the spread of the current Ebola outbreak has been deliberate, then the history of the U.S. government's involvement in bioweapons should. We're always told, of course, that DARPA's work on weaponizing viruses is strictly defensive. And it's for the public safety, of course. Just like the robots that they're creating that run faster than humans, I'm sure will only be used for hurricane relief. And it's not just DARPA. From the very beginning of its creation, the CIA has worked with criminals to develop biological and chemical weapons for the U.S. government. The book, A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson, tells the story of a CIA scientist who worked with biological and chemical weapons at Fort Detrick. His story is closely tied to Operation Paperclip, where Nazi war criminals were granted immunity for what they could bring to the American research programs on biological and chemical warfare. But it's not just Nazis that were brought in. Japanese war criminals were brought in as well. Here's some of the credentials of a Japanese general that we gave immunity to and brought into our biological warfare program. General Ishii's researchers injected tetanus into the heels of prisoners, left naked men outdoors in 40 degree below zero weather until their limbs froze solid as rock, put prisoners in glass rooms and sprayed them with anthrax, cholera, typhoid, plague-infected fleas, other diseases to calculate the minimal lethal dose. Even tied prisoners to a stake, and then exploded germ bombs overhead while soldiers wearing protective gear timed their deaths with stopwatches. Anywhere between 3,000 and 6,000 people. Men like that formed the foundation of the U.S. biological warfare units. Scientists like Dr. Cyril Broderick and Dr. Francis Boyle are asking if this isn't a manufactured epidemic. But the greatest danger may not be Ebola itself, but the big pharma, Defense Department cures and vaccines that are being rushed to market.
Normally, it would take years of human trials before a completely new vaccine was approved for use. But such is the urgency that this experimental vaccine is being fast-tracked at an astonishing rate. Vaccine uses a modified chimpanzee common cold virus to carry a single Ebola protein. It cannot trigger either disease, but should prompt the production of antibodies.
Right. What could possibly go wrong? For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
Well, that's it for the InfoWars Nightly News, but go to the InfoWars shop and pick up There Is No Place Like Utopia. This is from Joel Gilbert. We are the exclusive carrier. You can get it for $14.99. Well, I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water?
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered with the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.